It's
Okay.
so funny too because I actually signed up for this tennis workshop. It was a 90-minute tennis workshop, and I left after 60 minutes, which was probably a good idea anyway because I had sprained my ankle. As
Oh.
you know, if you've all listened to us, Natasha and I play soccer on this team, although we've never played together.
Funny.
And so I sprained my ankle a little bit, and so I thought, you know what, 60 minutes seems to be fine. I don't want to push it. But on the other hand, I was also like, I just don't want to be here for 90 minutes. It's just too long.
You're like, does anybody else, does this feel long for anybody else?
Yeah.
Yeah.
In my mind, I hit the 60-minute mark, and then I'm like, there's so many other things I could be doing right now. I'm gonna go. And
Yeah.
they're like, why are you going? And I was like, oh, which totally legit, but
Yeah.
also I got other things to do. So yeah, if you're a working mom with kids in the 5 to 15 range, we know we can really help you. We can help people in the 0 to 5, but we also know that, hey, 0 to 5, you gotta do what you gotta do.
You gotta do what you gotta do. And today we're gonna chat about goal setting for busy moms and also some chit chat about some exercise and a double date night and lots of fun on this kind of technical difficulty episode of Harness the Power of Planning, but still great content. Stick with us.
Hi, I'm Natasha.
I'm Allegra.
And together, our BYWD, or Beyond Your Wildest Dreams.
And for our podcast listeners, I just want to let you know that there were major technical difficulties because of an internet outage in my area, and we tried to clean up the podcast as well as possible, but there might be some little blips.
So
if you're joining us for the first time.
There's a little lag, I think. Go ahead.
If you're joining us for the first time, then you know that we're on a mission to help moms reclaim their time and energy and avoid burnout. And it is possible. It is possible. I'm listening to a book right now about decision making and how until you make that decision, nothing's going to change in your life, right? You're not going to drink that glass of water until you decide, I'm going to drink that glass of water.
Right.
And, you know, we know how it is as a working mom to feel like, oh my gosh, I'm so tired, and to feel like you have no control over it. But we're here to tell you there's always an opportunity for a little bit of agency.
Absolutely. 100%. And it does feel overwhelming because a lot of times we have so many different tabs open, right? Because as, you know, as human beings, we make tens of thousands of decisions a day, which is crazy. And then you think about being a parent, being a mom, you're making decisions not just for you, but for these other humans, you know, and some little ones like, what socks do we put on them today? And some bigger ones like, oh, well, you know, can I get
oh
them
my gosh,
to fly to this school? It makes it help them. Am I choosing the right school? We have a lot of choice where we live in Los Angeles. And it's always like, do we choose the right school? I'm not sure. You know, like there's a lot of that, you know, that feels very important, you know, and sometimes is very important.
Well, and also as parents, as being parents, we're thinking short term and long term the whole time, because while I've been homeschooling my child her whole life, I've also in the back of my mind been slowly chipping away at this idea of her going to a regular high school because there's one that's perfectly aligned with her interests. And so for the last 4 years, I have been actively having to do things in order to make sure that she was on that path.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, short term and long term, it's a lot to take in. And, you know, Natasha and I, we know that 0 to 5 age, when your kiddos are 0 to 5, is so intense. And maybe you don't feel like you have the bandwidth right now. There's still little teeny things you can do. And we talk about them all the time in our podcasts. Actually, if you go to our website, there's a teeny little thing you can do 2 minutes a day to help combat overwhelm. So go and grab that at our website, bywdreams.com.
Yeah,
but we yes, but we, but we're especially talking to moms whose kids are kind of in that like 5 to 15 range, where you're starting to emerge from the haze of that you have to put them first, and you have to maybe relearn how to put yourself first.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It was so easy to put ourselves first when we were the only person we were taking care of. Like, remember how much time we had?
My God. And at the time too, you thought like, oh, I don't have any time. It's like, little did I know. I sometimes think I'm like, if only I had that kind of time again, you know?
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. I used to go and do 3-hour workouts, and it wasn't 3 hours of like grinding, right? But I would go, I'd meet a friend and we would, you know, do some cardio side by side and just chat. And then we'd lift some weights and then we'd go sit in the steam room and then we'd go swim in the pool. It was all, it was just leisurely. It was like,
oh my God,
might as well. I have this time.
Who do you think you are that you, that you can just go to the gym for 3 hours leisurely?
And it's so funny too, because I actually signed up for this tennis workshop. It was a 90-minute tennis workshop. And I left after 60 minutes, which is probably a good idea anyway, because I had sprained my ankle. As you know, if you've all listened to us, Natasha and I play soccer on this team, although we've never played together.
Funny.
And so I sprained my ankle a little bit. And so I thought, you know what? 60 minutes seems to be fine. I don't want to push it. But on the other hand, I was also like, I just don't want to be here for 90 minutes. It's just too long.
You're like, does anybody else, does this feel long for anybody else?
Yeah.
Yeah.
In my mind, I hit the 60-minute mark and then I'm like, there's so many other things I could be doing right now. I'm going to go.
Yeah.
And they're like, why are you going? And I was like, oh, which totally legit, but
yeah,
also I got other things to do. So yeah, if you're a working mom with kids in the 5 to 15 range, we know we can really help you. We can help people in the 0 to 5, but we also know that, hey, 0 to 5, you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah. Survive. Like, yeah. You're getting them to survive. You're taking care of human beings, you know, like in a very real and very hands-on kind of way. Right. So keeping them legitimately alive and wiping and keeping their butts clean. I was like, that was such a milestone when they could wipe their own butts. What a milestone. I was like, and when they could buckle their own car seat too. It's like, oh, that day.
Oh my gosh, life changing.
It would come.
You're like, wah.
Right.
So yeah. As you know, we do a little chit chat and then we have a topic. And our topic this week is goal setting for moms. Although I do want to do just a little bit more chit chat before we get into goal setting for moms. Because Natasha and I went on a double date this weekend.
Oh my gosh, we sure did. We got out of the house with our respective husbands and our kids are old enough to hang out by themselves at home without a sitter. And they had a great time. And we had a great time. We had a great time away from each other. They were happy we were gone. They ate pizza.
I know, it's so funny.
And did who knows what. But the house.
The evolution.
Yes. It's so, it's
like from the double dates when we used to have to get sitters.
Right.
To now we don't have to.
Yeah. That's
it's
lovely.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it was, and the thing is Natasha and I, our husbands are as good of friends as Natasha and I are. And yeah. So a double date is just really fun.
So fun.
And so fun. And then, you know, when we do it, it's like, why don't we do this more often? But right. It's so funny because we talk so much that I think we just don't really think about it until something big happens that we both like. So what happened right. was we went to go see a comedian that Natasha and I are both huge fans of.
Yes.
Is coming to town. So mm-hmm. it's just like, oh, of course we're going to see it together because we both love this comedian so much. So we saw Fortune Feimster, and it's interesting because I thought that this might actually be my last big comedy show. You know, in the last 12 months, I've attended 3 huge comedy shows. So, right, thousands of people. And then I've attended maybe about a dozen shows where it was like 100 to 300 people. And I just feel like, at least for certain comedians, you definitely lose something when you can't like see their facial expressions, because the comedy shows with thousands of people, they don't have screens like at concerts. So you can't see the, well, actually one of them did have screen. One of them did have a screen.
I've seen some that do. But, yes, it depends, right? Yeah.
Right, they don't, not every venue has it. But Fortune Feimster brought it. It was huge, but it felt intimate.
Yeah.
It was so fun.
Curious. It was super fun. And then back in the day when we'd have a sitter, you'd be like, okay, well, let's head back. Otherwise, this is going to cost us a fortune. And we were like, where can we go next? You know, like, you know, got to go to a place next door and have a little post show nosh and hang out and chat some more. And we had a leisurely way back home. Whereas, you know, back in the day, I'd be like, all right, TikTok, every minute we're out is getting more and more expensive. Right. So it was,
right.
That's fun too, that you can, we don't feel that pressure of like having to get back and, you know,
right. The sitter costs more than the night out.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. Forget it. Going to see a movie. Crazy. right. When the house was still standing and all the kids were still alive. So I can't speak to how nutritiously they might have eaten while we were gone, but you know, they were alive. So
yeah. Plus it's a good opportunity for them to experience some independence in a way that we all feel they're safe. So they need those experiences.
100%. Yes. That was super fun. So, but that is a great thing to lead into goal setting in a way, right? Because if you, you know, you just mentioned, gee, I wish we could do this more. Or why don't we do this more? Right. It's not that I wish we could, why wish we could, we could, right. We can, right.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be maybe one of your goals, maybe one of your goals out there in podcast land, maybe wild dreamers, your goals are to spend more time with friends or spend more, you know, either one-on-one time with friends or group friends, you know, or double dates or whatever. And that could be a goal of yours, right? To have more planned friend time, because in this fast paced world, if we just wait for times where everybody's free, good luck, right? Months and months and months.
Yeah.
And months by, right. So, yeah. So that is having that as a goal potentially, or tons of other kinds of goals. You know, and then it's always fun when you spend a night like that, and then you have like this renewed sense of like, oh yeah, let's do this some more, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And I mean, let's just talk about that goal, for instance. So let's say you have a goal of, because this is a goal I've actually worked through myself, which is of connecting with people, because I don't know about you, but I feel like I know so many people. I think the reason why is technology. Your friends kind of used to drop away. You'd graduate from school, you'd have new friends in your new school, but now with social media and phones and FaceTime, it is possible to keep up with people that in the past, they might've just dropped away. So, and then there are people who like family members who you want to stay in touch with anyway, regardless of where they're living. Right. And so when I decided to make a conscious decision and plan, because if you've heard my story, you know that about 10 years ago, I felt like my personal relationships were suffering. And so I realized I needed to come up with a plan. If this was important to me, I needed to come up with a plan in order to maintain those relationships. And so one thing that I do is every week when I'm doing my week, I get someone to call who lives out of state. And I look at my calendar and I put in call Victor, call Suki, whoever it is I need to call. And so that's one way I keep up my relationships. And then another way that I keep up some of my relationships is by automating seeing them. But every Thursday morning, I hike with some friends of mine. And it's, you know, we're kind of a big group. We have a group chat. And not the same people come every Thursday, but every Thursday I get to hang out with one or more friend and chat with them that way. So I really love that. So those are two things that you can do if relationships are something that you're working on.
Yeah, absolutely. I have a friend that I used to see very regularly just because our lives were intersecting all the time. And that's not the case anymore. So we have a monthly hike date, right? And so we just check in around the first of the month to make sure we can nail down that Friday. It's always a Friday, and make sure we get it, you know? So we'll get 12, you know, hikes in a year together. And that's, to me, that's some of the best time together because, you know, A, you get to be outside, you get to be with your friends. Like I love hikes as a way to connect with people. And there's just something about walking that just that kind of like spurs talking, you know, not to say that I'm sitting around.
Absolutely.
And, you know, brunch does that too, but you know, and sometimes we skip the hike and weather sucks, you know, cause sometimes, yeah, the weather, sometimes when it's been raining and like too muddy, we're like, let's just go get coffee, you know, but You know, our lives are both sufficiently busy that would really, we'd go months without seeing each other if we didn't have that monthly hike date in place. So, you know, she and I just know that we're going to do it some Friday that month, you know, because things change. So we try to make sure that we get 12 in a year. So that kind of goal setting, even for something that seems not, you know, sometimes when you say goal setting, it's like, okay, where do you want to be in 5 years? And do I want to write a book, or do I want to, you know, that kind of thing. And that's valid. And we'll talk about that stuff in a second. But I just want to say that also just, you know, these things that seem like smaller goals, they're just as important to carve time out for. And maybe in some ways, maybe more important, right? Because if you get focused on that long-term goal, sometimes, you know, the day-to-day stuff kind of slips away from us in some ways.
Right. Because when you plan your day, you're actually planning your week, and you're planning your month, and you're planning your year, right? By committing to meeting up with my friends on Thursdays, it means that I'm getting in at least, last year, I think I got in 35 hikes. Obviously our goal is 52, but things happen, rain, out of town, et cetera. But it meant I got 35 hikes in that year. So when you plan your day, you're really planning a longer period of time if you put something on automate. And, you know, one thing Natasha, you know, talks about when she's talking about meeting up with friends is, I would cue you on what to say, but I don't know how to cue you on it. So I'm just going to say it, that she has this one friend that she meets up with. And before they part, they pick the day that they're going to see each other next, which is fantastic, because then you're getting it in your calendar.
But we found, it's funny, because we found she and I was just like, oh, let's just do this. We go for Manny Patties, and we're just like, oh, let's just do this. You know, we don't maintain our nails like we need to get our nails done every week, right? So we were just like, let's do it every 6 to 8 weeks. Mm-hmm. Just meet up for a mani pedi and blah, blah, blah. Well, initially we would just say that, right? And I'm not joking, like 6 months would go by before we would go ahead and schedule it. Then we started to go, okay, you know what? When we meet up and have that mani pedi, let's go ahead and open our calendars and pick a date 6 to 8 weeks from then and do it. And that worked for the most part, but then there would be cancellations and blah, blah, blah. The real trick that worked for this friend of mine and her, she and I, was then to also book the appointment while we were standing there in the lobby of the nail place. That was the key thing.
Right.
Is that we had to have a third party that was involved in order for us to really keep, because, you know, a lot of times this is self-care, right? These self-care moments, we sometimes don't prioritize them. I'm not just talking about nails being self-care, but like hanging out with friends, the hiking, right? These are things that, and those are things that are the first, right? And so she, also an entrepreneur, would get busy at different times and doesn't have a regular schedule. And same for me. So we would cancel on each other all the time and ourselves, you know, but lo and behold, when we make that appointment with the nail place, we keep it. So, you know, so if you're finding that kind of,
I'm paying in advance too.
Right? Paying in advance, exactly. So see if you can involve a third party if need be, if you're finding that you, you know, don't prioritize these are important.
I mean, one thing you do, for instance, if you're trying to get in a date night, is you could just have a standing reservation someplace.
Right.
And I don't know if I have frozen or if you have frozen.
You have frozen. Oh, okay. I can hear you. Oh, and you're gone. So Allegra has left us, but that's okay. We're going to just keep going ahead and streaming. I'm sure she'll pop back in. Like you said, she's had having issues in her area for internet. But as Allegra was starting to talk about having like a standing reservation, or, you know, going ahead and automating that somehow, right? So just making sure that you make that reservation. Maybe you make three reservations at once, right? For like, you know, April, May, and June, right? Or something like that, because that restaurant will be happy to take your reservation down. They'll be happy to take it. So, you know, maybe you just go ahead and book, you know, 3 to 4 reservations, or 5 or 6 in advance. So we're talking right now about like goal setting in the realm of, I want more X in my life, like more friendship or more connection, or making sure that I carve out time for my significant other and myself and that kind of thing. So we're talking about goal setting in that context, in the context of where things line up for you in your values. And we're, if you've taken our course before or listened to any of our other, listen to any of our workshops, you know that basing these goals on your values is key, right? So we're really talking about right now things that align with your values, like having connection with friends and so forth. But we could also talk about what we mentioned earlier, these kind of like long-term goals, goals that are maybe require multiple steps, lots and lots of maybe things like I mentioned earlier, like maybe you want to write a book, right? Absolutely got to sit down and write that book, but there's other aspects or other steps involved in getting that book out there in the world, right? So that is also falls under the umbrella of goal setting as well.
Yeah, but you know, one of the things that I like about what we're talking about with relationships, and by the way, if you can find activity like hiking with friends that probably allows you to live two values, right? Or for me, three values: outside time, movement, and time with friends. The great thing about focusing on goals like that, that are really within your control, is that it gives you a taste of success.
Yes.
And studies have shown that it's when you're working something new, getting an early hit of success is actually really helpful in order to keep you motivated. And Natasha and I talk all the time about starting super small, like itty bitty small. Like, that's why we mentioned we have on our website, bywdreams.com, that shows you in how 2 minutes a day you can start avoiding overwhelm. And same thing with exercise. You know, if you have never exercised before and you want to start a practice of exercise, start with 10 jumping jacks. Every time there's a commercial, working on a goal of doing a pull-up. And so every day I'm just hanging from a pull-up bar until I can't hang anymore. And it's probably less than 30 seconds at this point. But that's how I'm fitting it in.
That's okay. That's how it starts.
Start uber small.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds like a cliche.
Small.
We always want to think that's not enough. We got to go further. You know, I'm saying the cliche is like, you know, a journey of 1,000 miles starts with a single step, but that is really the idea behind this idea of starting small. We want to take big jumps. We want to take big leaps, you know, and because we want to see big progress, but small wins over time are more sustainable than huge leaps in progress, because you'll see after a while, you look back and be like, oh yeah, I really have been doing that. Wow, I really did get X amount of hikes in this year, right? I mean, it's nice to turn around and go like, oh, I did 35 hikes this year. You know?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing too is it's fun to hit 10 hikes, because then I'm like, oh, because my goal is always 30 every year.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, I'm a third of the way. And then I get to 15, I'm like, oh, I'm halfway. So to see that progress, to track it, and that is something we would absolutely say to you, is whatever it is you're working on, look up, go to Pinterest, type in habit tracker, go to our Pinterest. We have lots of habit trackers available there. And just keep track of how often you're doing that. Every day that I am doing my hang, I am making a little tick mark under my goal towards working towards a pull-up. And it's fun to see all those little tick marks. You know, this is something Jerry Seinfeld actually is really famous for doing, is his goal was to write a joke a day. And he would talk about how seeing all those marks on his calendar was really motivating, because he didn't want to break the streak, right? He wanted the streak to keep going and going and going. And another person who was known for a daily practice like that was Prince. They say that Prince wrote a song a day, which, can you imagine all the unreleased music?
Unbelievable. That
is in those vaults.
Yeah, seriously. Mind-blowing.
So, you know, whatever goal it is that you want to work on, if you want to write a book, write a sentence a day. If you want to buy a house, spend 5 minutes every day looking at Zillow. If, you know, whatever it is, think of a way to bring whatever big goals you have, to bring it into your daily life in these tiny moments, to either chip away at it, right? Like, hanging from a pull-up bar does not look like a pull-up, but I know it's going to help me get there.
Yes, absolutely.
So while we,
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, so while we know that looking at Zillow for 5 minutes a day isn't going to buy you that house, it is going to keep that thought about buying a house in the front of your mind. And at some point, you're probably going to get tired of looking at all these great houses. You're going to be like, okay, I'm going to do something now. And sometimes that's the kick in the butt you need.
Right. You said a really great thing earlier, Allegra, where you said, you know, like those long-term or yearly goals are practiced on the daily, you know, and it's it keeps it out of that someday situation and brings it into right now, right here, you know, and the power of starting small. We can't stress how important that is and how effective it is in that make that hurdle mm-hmm. to get going, to get started so small that it's so easy to do, right? It may not even feel like a big accomplishment, but keeping it going ahead and tracking too, like you said, you get to see those tick marks or however you want to, stickers or however you want to track for yourself, seeing those all line up or seeing them fill up your tracker shows you that proving to yourself is evidence that you can make changes, and those small changes really do add up over time.
And by the way, when we say start small, we also mean start small with how many things you're working on at the same time.
Right.
So don't go out and say, okay, I'm going to write a paragraph a day. I'm going to do 10 jumping jacks at every commercial. I'm going to drink this, you know, this much water every time I stand up, whatever. Don't have so many things that you feel then overwhelmed by that. You know, maybe just start. And at the end of the year, if you are incorporating, you know, one of these tiny little changes, maybe you add one in every month, you just do something, you're working on something else, at the end of the year, that can add up to a lot of change in your life. You know, Natasha and I, just to pull the curtain back a little bit, our business Beyond Your Wildest Dreams, we're now at a stage where we're working on something that we probably could have worked on 2 years ago when we first started the business, but we didn't know what we didn't know.
That's right.
And we didn't know that we should have been working on.
Yes. So language was lost again, but that's exactly what's exactly true. We didn't know what we didn't know. So you couldn't possibly be working on something you don't know about. But the thing is that we were showing up weekly. We had small increments where we were meeting up
a
certain amount of time every week, going ahead and working on together side by side, doing things on our own as well, but doing synchronous and asynchronous work together. But that synchronous time, we just had that blocked out, and little by little chipping away at working on Beyond Your Wildest Dreams and making that a priority and scheduling it in. It wasn't just like, oh, when can you meet, right? It was a scheduled time. And that's, I think, key. And again, we didn't know what we didn't know, but now we know what we know and we're working on it. But, you know, it's time that it took us to commit to working together at that same time every week for the same block of time every week and showing up consistently with that. But it wasn't, we weren't showing up and working 40 hours a week together.
Yeah. And so now, no, and now we're at a point where, okay, so we've accomplished these things and we've gotten them out of the way, and or they've become habits that we can do easily. And now it's like, okay, so now we're ready for the next thing. So the thing is while it might not seem like a lot to write a sentence a day or to do 10 jumping jacks a day, that's going to motivate you to either learn more about whatever it is that your goal is, or it's going to tune you in. There's something called the reticular activating system in your brain, which is your filter for the world. So if you tell your brain, health is important to me, and then your brain is going to start filtering things through that lens and say, oh, Allegra's decided that health's important to her. What things can I bring to her attention that will serve her in that area? And so Natasha and I, you know, when we started the year, we were a little bit like, okay, great. We know what we're doing. We're going to keep doing this. But then we know we want to, you know, build our audience. So what's the thing we can do to build that audience? And that, you know, our brains found this thing and we're like, yes, that's the thing we need to work on. And so don't feel like you have to know every single step of your plan, right? Right? Just taking the action of saying this is important and doing a little bit of activity, like there are parts of your plan that will become revealed, revealed to you, you know, as you're taking those steps. So yes, having a plan is great, but also know that parts of the plan can't be known until you know something a little bit.
100%. The two main takeaways I think here are like, start small and recognize and start, and even just setting your sights on the overall goal will start activating things in your mind, in your field of vision, bring opportunities towards you, or finally you'll see things that, or become encounter things that were there maybe the whole time that you hadn't really been able to, you hadn't noticed, right? Or hadn't thought of. Maybe this podcast is one of those things.
Yes.
Maybe this conversation is one of those things. And celebrate those small wins, because wins are wins. There are no sizes in wins. There are no, like, just for actors, there are no small parts. There are no small wins. All wins are wins.
And making progress is a win.
100%. Yeah.
So hopefully we'll see you next Thursday at 9:30 Pacific, 12:30 Eastern. And catch the audio only wherever you listen to podcasts at the Harness the Power of Planning podcast.
Bye for now.
Thanks for joining us for the Harness the Power of Planning podcast. Be sure to like and subscribe wherever you listen.